Hi everyone, welcome to the Intersections podcast, where we discuss how race, religion, and gender are connected to media and communications policy. My name is Faye Daimi, and I'm your host for this episode. I'm a research assistant at the Communications Governance Observatory Project and a first-year PhD student in Communications, New Media, and Cultural Studies at McMaster University. Please go ahead and listen to this episode of the Intersections podcast.
Thank you so much, Faye, for the opportunity to guest host the Intersections podcast. I'm here today with Natasha Malik. So, Natasha, introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your research.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Natasha. I'm a PhD candidate in communication, new media, and cultural studies at McMaster University. My research is informed by my interest in the fields of information, design, ethics, technology, participatory design, and design justice. Before joining McMaster, I studied in a professional information design program at the University of Toronto. At the time, I thought that I would become a professional user experience designer. However, my learning and experiences throughout the program kindled disillusionment towards information technologies and professionalized design practices like UX. I came to see user experience design as a discourse and practice that on the surface intimates design principles like usability and accessibility, but at the same time, the implementation of UX and its facilitation through personalized human behavior tracking can also doubly serve to enable greater conditions of surveillance, extraction, and subjugation to technology through the normalization of invasive design patterns in information technology-mediated experiences. The work of scholars like Pal N, Sasha Constanza-Chalk, Shoshana Zuboff, Arturo Escobar, Andrew Feinberg, and Langdon Winner shaped my thinking. Coming into my current program of research, I questioned, could working from within professionalized information design environments lead to just design outcomes? And what design approaches could information design practitioners employ when faced with contradictory value systems in design practice? This experiential background and my concern with the ethics of information design practice bleeds into my current research examination of participatory ethics in AI design and policymaking, which I explore through the language, practice, and frameworks of responsible AI.
That's very interesting. So, can you tell me a bit more about responsible AI? What is responsible AI?
So, the definition of responsible AI is not wholly standardized, but often it refers to statements and processes centering ethical principles and commitments stated by actors involved in the development of AI systems and technologies. These statements express assumptions and conceptions regarding artificial intelligence, ethics, the formation and structuring of society in relation to technology, and the role of design practice. Some questions that my research raises in this vein are, what role does ethics play in constituting the practice of responsibility termed as responsible AI? To what or to whom is responsibility attributed? How is responsibility distributed? And what do AI developers owe to data subjects? Critical academic scholarship also problematizes movements like ethical AI. For example, scholars Maya Indira Ganesh and Emmanuel Moss argue that the way we frame ethical AI has implications for what constitutes harm and what resistance to algorithmic influence itself means. These articulations are political because actors make knowledge claims about harm and resistance. Said differently, conceptions of artificial intelligence, ethics, and responsibility express underlying assumptions about the nature and order of reality or existence and the role of humans in the stewardship of systems and resources. So, to define responsible AI is to attribute authority, ethical matters of concern, and to envision relationality in the stewardship of AI development.
Wow, I'd like to know more. What possibilities does the language and practice of participatory design introduce to responsible AI design and policymaking?
So, in the literature revolving responsible AI, there's a widespread recognition of a participatory paradigm of sorts. In the Canadian landscape, scholars like Jennifer Rasso frame responsible AI as the public law-like or regulatory movement guiding the design and use of AI systems through self-government initiatives advanced by tech and policy people. Participatory responsible AI actions typically bridge inclusive design and public policy discourses. These actions typically involve a level of engagement with underrepresented communities to center their needs and values in AI design. Multidimensional aspects of identity, including culture, race, religion, and gender, are brought to bear on technology design practice. In practice, however, participatory outcomes vary and are very difficult to measure in quantitative terms. As an example, Meg Young and researchers argue that meaningful participation is the degree to which decision-making power is localized within communities affected by a design. This way of measuring or considering meaningful participation highlights a critical practical challenge that participatory AI actions face in efforts to advance the self-determination of communities. Specifically, conditions of globalization in today's context, they extend technology infrastructures across scales beyond notions of national sovereignty. However, the challenge of scale also offers an opportunity to reconsider the ways in which collectives govern relations and enact decision-making. Meg Young and researchers argue that when conceptualized differently, scale introduces participatory possibilities for AI design practice. Scale, in their words, can be considered as a measure of the infrastructural investments needed to extend a system across contexts. These investments can take the form of new infrastructures, social structures, and legal regimes that are participatory and aid in shifting power within the process of design. In policymaking practice, this may look like the actioning of methods like diverse voices from researchers at the University of Washington. Diverse Voices elevates discussants as experiential experts on their AI experiences, understandings, and perceptions. The idea is that by integrating experiential expertise as a source of authority on AI, resulting policy and design practice proposals can attend responsively to lived realities and arising cultural shifts.
That's fascinating. Let's go a bit deeper. What are the ethical dimensions of participatory, responsible AI actions?
The dynamics that arise in the performance of participatory responsible AI actions also raise critical questions related to the constitution and arrangement of power, such as how decision-making is facilitated and how authority is decided in AI design processes. These ultimately bear on the participating actors' experiences of agency and autonomy in performed actions. While opportunities driving inclusive design are embraced as responsible AI practice, participatory activities conducted with industry oversight also risk co-opting public interest discourse by reducing responsible AI to propaganda and performativity with limited material change across social, cultural, economic, and political orientations. The impacts of AI differ across the public sphere, and its benefits are also unevenly distributed. It is this disparity in power and agency introduced by technology from which participatory design as a discourse and practice emerged. For researchers and practitioners embedded in points of convergence between private and public institutional conditions, the practice of participatory design commands situated negotiations and maneuvers that attend to diverging institutional and social responsibilities.
So, I'm curious what you think. How may a serious engagement with participatory design recast the relationship between technology development, governance, and civic duty in society?
Basically, the current landscape across digital regulation developments in Canada, federal legislation has ongoingly lagged behind, while technology adoption forges ahead in private and public systems. This phenomenon reflects the incompatibility of governance drafting processes and rapid technology advancement in societies like Canada's, whose peoples and systems ongoingly adopt and are exposed to new socio-technical dynamics and relationships. The Artificial Intelligence and Data Act, which is also known as ADA, is one of the first proposed national regulatory frameworks for artificial intelligence in Canada. As a component of Bill C-27, ADA was introduced in the House of Commons in 2022, and it was introduced along with the Consumer Privacy Protection Act and the Personal Information and Data Protection Tribunal Act. In January 2025, the Parliament prorogued, and this entirely terminated C-27. So, in the Canadian digital regulation landscape, ADA, the Online Harms Act, and the Critical Cyber Systems Protection Act were introduced to enact federal digital regulation in alignment with the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms across cybersecurity, private sector privacy law, commercial AI development, and online harms mitigation. The future of these bills, however, hinges on their reintroduction. Scholar Andrew Clement also argues that in its most recent drafting, ADA lacks democratic legitimacy. The consultation processes undertaken by the Standing Committee on Industry, Science and Technology prop up industry and reflect apathy towards the essential role the public plays in informing and legitimizing legislation drafting processes. So, critically, by concentrating opportunities for public consultation within a committee focused on market vitality, the shape ADA may take forms within a system centering business expertise in AI. On the other hand, facilitating just participation in AI policymaking and governance practice through initiatives like citizen panels enables the public to voice considerations that are more in alignment with their needs and values. Enacting a participatory knowledge and meaning-making ethic also makes room for the cultivation of social trust, and this supports democratic legitimacy in AI governance approaches.
So, to conclude our discussion, what investments or maneuvers are needed to make possible or implement participatory infrastructure in AI design and policymaking?
I would say that investments in socio-technical and legal oversight mechanisms are essential. Without these, responsible AI's participatory paradigm risks reinforcing accountability gaps at the intersection of AI and the public interest. Accountability gaps can be reinforced by inconsequential acts of so-called democratic participation in AI design. A return to the history of participatory design also sheds light on the precarious labor context in which this field came to be in the space of human-computer interaction. Pell N, who is a seminal figure in participatory design, asserts that a participative approach to the design process is not sufficient in the context of democratization. In other words, the integration of diverse representative perspectives into a work design process does not necessarily result in democratic outcomes. However, in the context of work design, local union formation and participation are a prerequisite for the democratization of decision making. Examining current participatory AI initiatives through this understanding and lens highlights how there is an absence of accountability within processes of democratization. The failure to place accountability partners like labor unions at the heart of decision-making processes and initiatives framed as participatory AI render power sharing non-existent. Reflecting on the role of academia, research partnerships between academia and industry reflect a collaborative ethos. These partnerships can facilitate knowledge exchange and make the development and co-design of innovative approaches across sectors in society possible. At the same time, the diverging and contested roles investments and duties of public and private institutions in governed societies also give rise to contradictions and value tensions. For practitioners and researchers, these are navigated as situated negotiations in sites of participatory action and values in the making.
This is so interesting. Thank you so much, Natasha, for this food for thought. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in to the Intersections podcast.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Intersections podcast. To learn more about the intersections and listen to more episodes of this podcast, please visit theintersections.ca. Bye, until our next episode.